The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. We hear this a lot at Christmas time, and right now I'm hearing Handel's Messiah in my ear. But the passage goes on to prophesy some other things about this child and son, like the government will be upon his shoulder. When is that going to happen? Let's talk about it today on Grace in Focus. So glad that you're joining us today, friend, for this radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about this focused free grace ministry at our website, faithalone.org. We have a free magazine, a free seminary, and we have many resources, many articles on that website, some information about our conferences. So jump on and find out more about the Grace Evangelical Society, the website, faithalone.org. Now with today's discussion from Isaiah 9, here are Catherine Wright and Ken Yates.
We are continuing our series in the book of Isaiah.
That's
in
right.
The Old Testament, one of the major prophets. And we are also doing this to kind of also let you know that if the Lord tarries, we're supposed to have it out in, what, 2026 or something like that? The Old Testament commentary?
You know, isn't there a song about, like, beautiful dreamer?
Beautiful dreamer, yeah. It's a lot of work.
I hope so. Yeah.
And we have a number of authors who are working on different books, and we say it's kind of like herding cats. So Bob.
Yeah. Shout out to Scott.
Scott, Bob, yeah. And the people that are the jefes of it. They're doing their best to crack the whip and get all these guys doing what they need to do. But when it comes to Isaiah, what we've tried to do here is pick well-known verses, discuss them and how they're often misunderstood among...
Highlight free grace issues,
yeah.
I think, you know, as we look at this book, how maybe there's been some misunderstanding due to some faulty thinking.
Right. And again, obviously, in a short series like this, we're not going to cover... all of the book.
Somebody's going to be like, why didn't you talk about chapter, you know,
whatever.
8 or whatever? And be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we just had to pick some.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
We have another well-known passage, and it's found in Isaiah chapter 9. And if I could, I'll just read the two verses. And again, these are verses that probably all of you have heard. Chapter 9, verse 6 of Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from the time forward, even forever. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There's a number of issues here.
Can I just point out something really quick, though?
Sure.
In our last episode, if you weren't here, we were talking about the difference between the double fulfillment in prophecy and the double reference. But
in Isaiah 7.
In Isaiah 7. And isn't it funny that here in verse 6, we have the two advents of the Lord within the same verse.
Right.
So you have that idea of two events spanning over centuries, but they're presented.
In his first advent, a child is born.
That's right.
And then it's talking about when he rules.
That's right. And his government being on his shoulders, which isn't the case right now.
So. And that's one of the issues.
That's right.
Right. One of the issues is when it talks about his government, I think it's safe to say that the vast majority of evangelicals throughout church history would say, well, that's talking about the church, or that's talking about heaven.
Yeah.
You know, it's talking about Christ ruling.
Mm-hmm.
Well, does he rule?
Yeah.
He rules in the hearts of his people.
He's on his throne right now.
Yeah. Or when we all go to heaven.
Mm-hmm. You hear this in the phrasing already, but not yet.
Right.
It's a very common idea. But what I think it was Stanley Toussaint, right, who said, it's not yet and it's not yet. I think.
Well, no, not already.
It's not already. It's not yet. That's right.
Or something like
something
that.
It's not yet.
Yes. And so there's a couple things that we can discuss about this, that this is looking forward to the return of Christ when he rules. Notice it talks about his government. Notice it says in verse 7, to establish it with judgment and justice.
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting that if this is taught, first of all, let's talk about it. If that's heaven, the evangelical view of eternity, where everybody is just together in the cloud somewhere, why would he need judgment? Why would
government.
He need? Yeah, that's the other thing. He's talking about his government here. And so I guess someone might say, well, in the church, you know, he's ruling and he's got to discipline his children when they get out of line or something like that. And that's his government, would you say?
Yeah, it's very, when you're talking about how these verses are spiritualized, it's a very difficult thing to articulate because you're going to get a variety of interpretations in that sphere. If you talk to people about, well, what does that exactly mean? You're going to get differing answers.
We will rejoin in just a moment. But years ago, Zane Hodges wrote The Gospel Under Siege. Sadly, this is still true, and GES President Bob Wilkin has recently written its sequel. Bob's new book, The Gospel Is Still Under Siege, is a book about theological clarity on the biblical teaching about eternal salvation. It is available now. Secure yours today at the Grace Evangelical Society's bookstore. Find it at faithalone.org/store. That's faithalone.org/store. Now back to today's content.
And it's also interesting that Isaiah refers to the throne of David.
Yes.
Of course, we as dispensationalists and free grace people, we say, no. This is talking about when Christ returns and has
literally
a government upon the earth.
This earth.
And going to set upon the throne of David.
From Jerusalem.
Right.
Which is a major deal. Going back to chapter 1, we talked about chapter 1 in our first episode, 118. But really, chapter 1, it's like so many books of the Bible, where if you look at chapter 1, you see all these threads that come out through the rest of the book. But in chapter 1, he talks about how Jerusalem is this, he describes it like a harlot, this den of just iniquities, and just, it's horrible. And it's just, you picture it like burning down. But he says one day it's going to be a righteous city. It's going to be this crowning jewel, if you will, of the kingdom of the coming Messiah, Emmanuel. And so, and he's talking about literal. He's saying right now, here, right now, Jerusalem is this shack, this
rebellious
harlot,
city.
Rebellious city full of just sin and oppressors and just evil leaders. But there is a righteous leader, a righteous king, unlike Ahaz, right, or some of these other poor kings of Judah, but that there's going to be this righteous king who's going to rule from literally Jerusalem, and he's going to have a righteous government, and it's going to be a time of peace. And so it's very much literal language.
And you said before we started, this is talking about the church being up in heaven and floating around the clouds.
Right.
Why is there a need for a government then? If everything is, there's no sin, there's no death, there's no rebellion, why is there a need for a government? And why is there a need for justice? Mm-hmm. Why is there a need for judgment that these verses are talking about? So you can see when we spiritualize these verses, how hard it is. And no wonder, like you said, when you read people who do spiritualize them, you get all kinds of different interpretations.
Exactly.
And so we have here a kingdom, and there's a couple other issues here.
Can I just say, this is such an exciting passage. Just, you know, I know we're dealing with some of the issues that we come across, but isn't this such an encouraging passage? You know, I think about what's going on right now in Israel and just the turmoil and the unrest and the way it's been literally, you know, since the days of Ahaz and Isaiah, but that we know that our king is coming, and it's going to be a place of peace and government and righteous leadership. Yeah, such an exciting passage. But go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, it also says that his kingdom, there will be no end.
Yeah.
And it talks about his government.
Of the increase of his government.
There will be no end. I know some of the older dispensationalists, I'm thinking here of Alexander Patterson, for example, he takes that very literally. He takes that that the kingdom is, you know, most people look at that and say, well, he's just going to rule forever. And that's certainly true.
Sure.
He's going to rule forever. But Alexander Patterson says, no, maybe what that means is that God created the universe with an infinite number of planets and stuff, that it's going to continue to grow. His government, the increase of it, his ruling is going to increase, not just go on forever, but it's going to increase.
Yeah, that there will be nations.
Right.
Which is also something interesting about Isaiah that, yes, he is dealing with Judah and he is dealing with the nation of Israel and the Davidic line and the remnant that will be saved. But he also talks about the Gentile nations and he talks about, yeah, these guys are going to get disciplined and, you know, Assyria is eventually going to fall and Babylon's going to fall. But also there's a lot in there about how those nations are also going to be in the millennial kingdom. Egypt, for example, in chapter 19, it says that they're going to learn the Hebrew language during that time and that they're going to have altars to him and praise him. And so that his government is going to be sourced in Jerusalem, but it's going to go out to the whole world and to all these nations, and that it will forever be expanding.
So the universe,
yeah,
the new heavens and the new earth, his government is going to involve all of this. You know, so it's kind of weird, you know, when people think of eternity, again, most evangelicals think of just heaven. They don't even think of a new earth. They don't even think of a millennial kingdom.
Or nations.
That's right.
People, tongues, different languages will still be spoken. And
so even from the older dispensationalists, they said, no, we're talking about a new earth. And that's why we're talking about a government.
That's right.
Now, of course, in the millennial kingdom, there's still going to be people in physical bodies and sin and things like that. So there'll be justice that will be meted out from the king. But in the new earth, there's not going to be any more sin or death, but his government will continue to increase. And that's just an interesting concept, whether it's new worlds, new universes, well, it would be new universes, I guess, but just the ability to travel and things like that. It's just, it boggles your mind as we think about it. And the other thing I would say about it is that a lot of times people say the millennial kingdom is all there is. But this says, no, it'll go on forever and ever.
That's right.
And so his kingdom begins with the millennial kingdom, but the millennial kingdom is just the first 1,000 years of it, and it'll keep on going. Another great passage we have here in Isaiah, and isn't it wonderful to know that because of God's grace in Christ, that every one of us who's believed in him for eternal life will be a part of it, whatever it looks like. So it's very appropriate for us to say, keep grace in focus.
We would love to know where you are when you are listening to us. Please take a short minute to send us the call letters of this station and the city where you are listening and how many times a week you listen. Thank you. You will be helping us with our stewardship. Send it to radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can give, go to faithalone.org. On our next episode, we move along to Isaiah 11, where animals that usually want to eat each other are all of a sudden friends. Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.